Please, from the book of 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians rather, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Everybody just pat yourself like that and say, right here. That's what he's talking about, right here. His life manifested in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest, or might be made manifest, in our mortal flesh. Everybody say mortal.
Mortal
means
subject to death.
That means this body that if Jesus doesn't come and catch us all away, your body will die. Your body will go back to the earth. My body will go back to the earth. This mortal body is subject to death. But it is the will of God that the life of Jesus be made manifest in this mortal body. Even in this earthly frame that is subject to death, that will one day, barring rapture and Jesus coming to catch us all away, this body will go back to the ground from which it came. Back to dust. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. But it is the will of God that as we walk and breathe and talk and live upon planet Earth, that the life of Jesus be made manifest in these bodies that are subject to death. In these earthen tabernacles, Paul the Apostle says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It is amazing to me that God can put supernatural miracle, dead raising, devil casting out power inside of an earthen vessel, inside of a human body that is subject to death. He can put eternal life on the inside of that body. He can put eternal life in that spirit of that man, and he can use that earth body and that earth shell and that earth suit, and he can manifest his supernatural power through that human frailty. That's amazing to me. And yet that's exactly what God wants to do. And that's exactly why Jesus came to this earth in an earthen body, to show us what it's supposed to look like. Everybody say, the Jesus life. The Christian life is actually supposed to be the Jesus life. Meaning, Christ's life should be manifesting itself through the life of the believer. 2 Corinthians 4 and 10, I read it to you. The life of Jesus should be made manifest in our bodies. Tap yourself again and say, right here. In my body. Say, in my body. Oh yeah. In my body. Verse 11 said, the life of Jesus should be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now we know Jesus was the Son of God. And so sometimes we put him in a total different class than ourselves and say he was the Son of God and that's why he did what he did. No, friend, he did what he did just like any one of us, anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he is a faithful representation. If it was only because he was the Son of God, then we would all be left out, because we're not his only begotten. We are born of his Spirit, but we're not the only begotten of God. So if it was only
only because he was the Son of God that he was able to do it, then we would all be left out. But it's not. It's because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, and that's the same Holy Ghost you have, and it's the same Holy Ghost I have. And I said it before, but I say it again. When I got the Holy Ghost, when you got the Holy Ghost, you didn't get a baby starter pack. You got the same Holy Ghost Jesus had. Glory to God. We cannot properly and honestly speak of Jesus and not take into account the supernatural aspect of his life. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. We cannot properly and honestly speak of Jesus. Now, there's some people that do. There's some people, there's some denominations, some groups that never mention the supernatural character of Jesus' life. They only talk about his humanity. They only talk about how merciful he was and how good he was and how kind he was. But listen, if we cannot properly understand that, we cannot properly and honestly speak of Jesus and not take into account the supernatural aspect of his life. His life was filled with the supernatural. As soon as we became acquainted with Jesus at 33 years old, when Jesus goes down into the water and he's baptized of John, comes up out of the water and the dove descends upon him, the Holy Spirit comes upon him in the form of a dove. From that moment on, Jesus began to move in supernatural demonstrations and manifestation. He was healing the sick. He was casting out devils. He was opening blind eyes. He was making the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk. And he was raising the dead. He tamed the sea. He walked through walls. He traveled supernaturally. He fed a multitude with a lad's sack lunch. And he turned water into wine. In other words, Jesus lived a supernatural life. Everybody say supernatural. Say the Jesus life is a supernatural life. Say the Christian life is a supernatural life. Say for the Christian, it is natural to be supernatural. Hallelujah. This is the life he willed to us. He willed this life to us. This is the life he purposed for his body through the power of the Holy Spirit. How many knows that the church is the body of Christ? This is the life that he purposed for his body. We are his body. We're the body of Christ. We're his members. We're flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And this is the life that he purposed for his body through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. We're supposed to be like Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, just like Jesus. Hallelujah. As he is, so are we in this world. And then the Bible says, the works, Jesus said this, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. The purpose for Jesus going and Jesus giving us, rather, the Holy Spirit was to produce in us the supernatural life that he lived. Hallelujah. Somebody say, it is natural for me to be supernatural. A church without the supernatural is a church living beneath her birthright, her inheritance, and her privileges. I must say this, that a church without the supernatural is a weak representation of Jesus. It's undisputably the will of God that every one of his children be filled with his Spirit. It is undisputably the will of God that if you have been born again, if you have been washed in his blood, if you have been regenerated by his Spirit, and you are part of his body, it's undisputable from the scriptures that it is the will of God that you be filled with his Spirit. Amen. Yeah. Undisputable. And that we live a supernatural life. Yeah. Hallelujah. Mark 16 is Jesus' description of the individual that fully embraces and manifests the Jesus life. What did he say? Mark 16. These signs shall follow the pastor and the apostle. No. These signs shall follow the evangelist only, because he is specially anointed, or she. These signs shall follow the missionaries only. No. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Yes.
Every believer, every born again, child of God, every redeemed, ransomed soul is supposed to manifest the life of Jesus. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's the life of Jesus. That's the supernatural life. That's the life that he has willed to us. Say this with me. Say, Jesus has willed to me a supernatural life. I have the Holy Spirit. He is supernatural. He makes me supernatural. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Luke 17, you know the scripture. Jesus said, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And those serpents and scorpions, he's not talking about these little scorpions and these little and snakes on the ground that we see running around. He's talking about demon spirits.
Yes.
Serpents and scorpions, those are demon spirits that oppress people and that bind people and that afflict people and that attack people. Demon spirits like suicide.
Yes.
Demon spirits like depression and oppression. Demon spirits like cancer and sickness, disease. Demon spirits like all these things are demon spirits. They are works of darkness, serpents and scorpions. And Jesus said, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Yes.
Can I say something tonight? The modern day church is a mere shadow of the church Jesus intended us to be.
Yeah.
We're just a shadow. We're just a faint representation. Jesus gave to us, the church, the same supernatural capacity and power that he had. That power is the Holy Spirit. Man, friend, this will excite you if you understand. Jesus didn't get a different Holy Ghost than you have. He didn't get a different anointing. It's the same anointing. It's the same Spirit. The Bible said, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. It's the same Holy Ghost. Somebody say, same Holy Ghost. Say, same anointing. Same power. The Bible said, Acts 10 and 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. How? With the Holy Ghost and power. The Holy Ghost was the power source in Jesus' life. Everything Jesus did in the realm of the supernatural, he did by one or more of the gifts of the Spirit. Everything he did. Everything he did in the realm of the supernatural, he did by one or more of the gifts of the Spirit. Remember him talking to the woman at the well? And he's talking to her a little bit, you know, and he recognized that he's going a little deeper. He says, won't you get your husband? And she said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, well, you're telling the truth there. He said, you've had five. The man you're living with right now is not your husband.
Yeah.
She said, oh, she said, I perceive you're a prophet. What was that? That was a word of knowledge. That was a word of knowledge. What about when Jesus turns water into wine? What's that? That's a working of miracles. What about when he breaks the bread and multiplies the bread and the fishes and feeds multitudes? What is that? It's a working of miracles. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. What about when he opened the blind eyes? It's a working of miracles, or it's gifts of healing. It can be both.
Yeah.
It's one or more of the gifts of the Spirit. Everything Jesus did in the realm of the supernatural
He did it all by the same Holy Ghost that he gave to the church. And he did it all by one or more of the gifts of the Spirit. When you understand the gifts of the Spirit and you have a revelation of them according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when you have a revelation of the gifts of the Spirit, then you can begin to look at Jesus' life and see what gift he was operating in when he was doing what he was doing. Because Jesus was doing what he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything he did was by one of the gifts of the Spirit. Now he has given to his church, which is his body. We're just like he was when he was walking the earth. We're his body now. The church is his body. And he has given to the church these nine supernatural gifts. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, prophecy, interpretation of tongues. He's given us the gift of healing. He's given us the working of miracles, the gift of faith, and he's given us all nine gifts of the Spirit to manifest his supernatural ability and character in the earth. God wants to manifest himself. Say this with me. Say, God wants to manifest himself in the earth. And his method of manifestation is through me. Yeah. Hallelujah. God is calling his church. Now, I'm not just talking about our church. I'm talking about his church worldwide. He's calling his church back to their spiritual heritage and their supernatural birthright. Friend, listen to me. This is why this is on my heart tonight so strong. We're entering a time of supernatural warfare in this country like we have never known before. We're entering into a time of supernatural warfare on a scale we have never known before. And we must return to our supernatural DNA. We must learn again how to walk in the Spirit, in the supernatural. We must, friend, we must. I can't say it enough. We must have the spirit of discernment. We must be able to discern what's happening in our midst. We must be able to hear the voice of God. We must be able to work the works of God. We must be able to cast out devils and heal the sick. We must be able, and it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. But God is calling his church back to their supernatural heritage. We were born of his Spirit to be carriers of his Spirit so he can manifest his power through us. Now I'm going to prophesy to you. In these coming days, the churches that do not embrace their supernatural birthright and do not operate by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they're going to be swept away by false doctrine and deception. You can talk about the humanity of Jesus, talk about his love, talk about his kindness, talk about his goodness, talk about his long-suffering, talk about his compassion and his forgiveness, and embrace all of these qualities, and we should. But to cast out devils and to deliver the bound and the oppressed, to open blind eyes and deaf ears, to drive cancer out of a body, and to raise the dead, you have to do more than embrace his humanity. You've got to embrace his divinity. You've got to receive his supernatural character. Amen. We're in a spiritual warfare. Now, this has been going on in my spirit for a few days now. I mean, a long time, but in the last few days, especially, the Holy Spirit has just really been driving this home to me. We're in a spiritual warfare, and there has been a dramatic increase of demonic freedom and activity in this nation. I'm saying it again. There has been a dramatic increase of demonic freedom. Freedom. They're moving around freely. Where they used to be hindered and restricted. Where they used to be bound up. Because the church has gotten lax and lukewarm and indifferent. And the church hasn't been walking in supernatural power and discernment.
And so the devil has been gaining ground. He's been moving in freedom and activity in this nation. And there's only one thing that can drive back the demons of hell, and that's a church that's walking in supernatural heritage and power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. We've got to have the power of God. There's only one thing. Yes, you say, but the angels, don't they fight for us? Aren't the angels warring in the heavens? Listen, friend, the angels help, but the angels only go into action when the church goes into action. They assist us, but they're not fighting our battles.
Well, it's quiet right there. I guess I hit a note right there. Everybody thought, well, the angels are doing it all. I don't know. All I have to do is just go to church and pay my tithes and angels will take care of it. That'd be nice, but it ain't true. It ain't true.
Angels go into action when the church goes into action. Angels are on assignment to assist us on our assignments. Angels are sent to assist us to accomplish our assignment. And when the church goes into action, angels go into action. They assist us, they fight with us, they protect us as we move forward against the enemy. The church or individual that does not embrace their supernatural DNA is going to get run over by hell.
Boy, I'm just saying all kinds of crazy things tonight, I guess, because it's getting really quiet. Oh, yeah. I thought right there, everybody said, that's right, amen. We've got to walk in the Spirit. We've got to have the anointing. We've got to have discernment. We've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost, or the devil's going to run us over, my friend. That's the truth, whether we like it or not.
Amen.
It's a fact.
Amen.
We've got to walk in the Spirit. We've got to have a mind of the Spirit. We've got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. We've got to be on fire for God. We've got to have anointing. The devil's going to run us over.
Amen.
The devil's going to trample down any church or individual that does not embrace their supernatural DNA in Christ. I feel a strong urgency tonight to urge you and myself, us as a body, to press into the Spirit. To press. I spoke it from this pulpit a few days ago, and I've been saying it in our home, and Pam and I both have been sensing it and we've been speaking about it, but there is a awareness that has come to us that is an urgent awareness that says you have got to have power. You've got to have power to deal with some of the things we're going to have to deal with in days coming. You're going to have power. Friend, there's some of your family that need deliverance from demons, and we're going to have some power. I've got some family members that need some deliverance, and we've got to have some power. We can't just tell them, we can't just read scriptures over them and think that's going to set them free. We've got to have the same Holy Ghost anointing that Jesus had. We've got to have that same power that is in Jesus' life. That same anointing has to be on our life. And when that same anointing is on us, we can do the same things Jesus did. We can cast out demons in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Amen. And we can command mountains to be moved into the sea and they have to go.
Hallelujah.
We have to spend more time with God. We have to seek Him for His power. We can't go through this thing thinking that it's just going to automatically happen. All good things are just going to come to us. It's not true. We got to seek Him. The Bible said, you have not because you ask not. He said, seek and you shall find. What does that mean? That means if you don't seek, you won't find. He said, knock and the door will be opened unto you. What's that mean? If you don't knock, the door won't be opened unto you.
We got to ask Him for discernment. We better pray. God, give us discernment. We got to have discernment. This man of God that I was speaking with this morning, we spoke for well over a half an hour, began to speak to me about how we have to stand up for truth. And how the only defense against the lie is the truth. And how important it is. And it reminded me, and it just increased in my spirit how thankful I am that I was listening to God when He spoke to me about reestablishing and teaching the doctrines and the fundamentals of our faith and getting us reestablished in the doctrines of our faith and knowing what the Word of God teaches about our doctrine and why we believe what we believe. We've got to be established in that Word. We've got to have our roots that go down deeper in that Word so that when a lie comes, we know the lie and we know the difference because we have the truth in us. We have the Spirit of truth in us. But we need to pray for discernment. God, give us discernment. Give us discernment. We need to pray in the Holy Ghost. You need to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost to say, how much time should I spend praying in the Holy Ghost? Well, how much time do you spend praying in the Holy Ghost? 15 minutes? 15 minutes? Maybe, well, if you're spending 15 minutes, spend 30. I'm going to tell you what I did. When I first started beginning to learn how to enter into the Spirit, I brought myself into a place and I said, I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost and I'm not going to pray in English. And so I started praying in the Holy Ghost and I said, I'm going to pray in the Spirit for an hour. I said, this is to myself, you know, I'm going to pray in the Spirit for an hour. I started praying in tongues and pretty soon my mind started saying, what is that? And my mind wanted me to kick back in English so bad. My mind was telling me, just go back to English. Just pray in English. You know what to say in English. You don't know what you're saying in tongues. And my mind would tell me, it ain't doing anything anyway. You know, you're just making yourself do it. Then I found out something. Well, you know what? I make myself pray in English. I make myself read the Bible. And that Bible don't run and jump and get me. Come and run, jump in my lap. And just, no. I got to go pick it up. I make myself do that. So I made a determination. I just started praying, man. I just prayed. You know why I did it? I did it because I believe the Bible. Because the Bible says, the book of Jude, verse 20, it says, but ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If I waited for feeling like it every time before I prayed in the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't pray much in the Holy Ghost. I don't wait till I feel like it. I pray in the Holy Spirit because I want to. The Bible says, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray with understanding also. When will I? Whenever I want to. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I love the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I love the fact I can pray in tongues. Glory to God. I can pray in tongues driving down the road. Hallelujah. I don't have to wait till I get to church. I used to live that way, friend. That's the way I used to be. I had to get into church and there had to be a good service and there had to be a good spirit and it had to be high energy. And then when there was high energy, I'd get a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da like that. Hold on. But not now, brother. Hallelujah. Because I carry my own energy. Glory to God. I keep myself energized. The Bible said, building up yourself. I build up myself on my most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. We've got to spend time praying in the Spirit. The more time you spend praying in the Spirit, you energize your spirit, man. You bring your soul into subjection and you quicken and the spiritual senses become heightened and you become sensitive to the things of God and you become quicker to obey God and it becomes easier for you to yield to the Holy Spirit. Come on, raise your hands for just a minute. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you for the word tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. When you pray in the Spirit, something happens. You tap into that anointing. When you pray in the Spirit, you tap into that pool of the Spirit, and pretty soon things start stirring up inside of you. If you want to prophesy, pray in tongues. If you want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, in works of miracles and healing and deliver whatever, pray in tongues, man. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more that stirs that up inside of you. Sometimes I'm praying, you know what happens? I pray in the Spirit. I pray in tongues, and then I interpret what I pray. Somebody said, you can do that.
Yes, you can.
I do it. Oral Roberts did it all the time. That's how he said that. He says that's how he built that university. He said he walked out on that property and prayed in tongues and interpreted what he prayed in tongues. I hear people all the time, men of God, anointed men of God, say they pray in the Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit will give them the interpretation to what they prayed in the Spirit. Praying in your private time is one of the most powerful training places that you could be. In your times of prayer, God will train you in the operation and manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. I prophesied to myself. I feel the Holy Spirit come upon me, and I prophesy to myself. And I walk it out, and I live it. Hallelujah. If you can prophesy over me, I can prophesy over me. Because see, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit. I was sitting at home the other day, and I told Pam this. I said, this really surprised me. I was sitting at home the other day. I was watching TV. Somebody gave a message in tongues on television, and it was a service some months ago. And I said, Lord, give me the interpretation of that. And he did. He did. And then they gave the interpretation, and it was the same thing. I said, God, you're awesome. You're just awesome. Isn't it awesome? See, the Holy Spirit was there that day, and the Holy Spirit was with me. Hallelujah. As far as God's concerned, there's no past, present, or future anyway. God's everywhere, you know. You know, you want to, you know, when you get where you're going, God's already there waiting on you. Yeah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. We should be having the best time anybody on planet Earth. I heard Benny Hinn talking about his son the other day. He said he had some problems. He said he'd been praying for his son. His son had some problems. He'd been struggling with drugs. And he came down one night. He said the power of God hit him. And he said when the power of God hit him, he said it changed his life, man. I mean, when the power of God got on him, it changed his life. And he said, man, he said, this is the best high I've ever had. And then he said, and it's free, too. Hallelujah. There's nothing like the Holy Ghost, man. I'm telling you, you get full of, I said, you get full of the Holy Ghost. Not just speaking tongues every once in a while. I'm talking about being full of the Holy Ghost. See, I used to live that way. I was like that. You had to prime the pump, you know. You had to get that pump going, you know. And when you get that pump going real good, oh, hallelujah. And then I could speak in tongues a little bit. Hallelujah. But I stay full all the time. Hallelujah. I drive down the road speaking in tongues. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I had good practice when I worked at the Baptist church. I prayed in tongues all over that Baptist church. They didn't believe in speaking in tongues, man. They didn't. A lot of them thought it was of the devil. Well, it wasn't of the devil. It was God Almighty. I just prayed in tongues. I vacuumed that floor, man. And I would dust those benches and whatever. I shut labo rikandabo shata ringedabo shata barrio shai. Lord, let everybody that sits on these benches feel your power and feel your anointing. Hallelujah. Now go clean the bathrooms and pray in tongues in the bathroom. Hallelujah. I'm surprised I didn't hear about people getting filled with the Holy Ghost in the bathrooms. Hallelujah. Spend time in the Word. Don't think you can be strong in the Lord and not spend time in the Word. We're never going to be strong by ignoring the Word that makes us strong. So we have to study the Word. We have to spend time in the Word. And stir up the anointing that's in you. That's one of the ways you do it. Praise and worship.
praise and worship and pray in the Holy Ghost. And read the word. That's how you stir up the anointing that's in you. Hando rikandala basata. Woo! Shilabo rakarabahaya. Hallelujah. Kirabo shah. Stir it up. Stir it up. Spend some time fasting. Hallelujah. Fast from food. I didn't say eat only fast food. I said fast from food. Fast from the media. Take a Facebook fast. And Twitter fast. Huh. And Pinterest fast. Huh. Take a media fast. Fast from TV. Fast from the cell phone. I know some people think they'd die if they went an hour without their cell phone. They're addicted to it. Fast from it. Become aware of the spirit world. Whether you believe it or not, it's present.
Yes, sir.
And if we do not engage that realm with the supernatural power of God, then the devil has the run of the camp. Listen, let me say it again. If we do not engage the realm of the spirit, the supernatural realm, the supernatural power of God, if we do not engage that realm, then the devil has the run of the camp, because believe me, there are a lot of people on his side that are engaging that realm. The power of the devil. I've seen some things recently that just tripped me out. I mean, it shouldn't, but it did. I've seen some people on YouTube, there's some videos that have been taken of some very popular people, and their eyes look like snake eyes. Look just, and I've seen that before in demon-possessed people. I've seen that. If you've never seen that, then you just have to take my word for it or wait till you see it. But believe me, it's real. That demon can manifest itself inside of somebody to the degree that their eyes will look like snake eyes. And they even close like this on the inside of the pupil. It closes inside like a snake. And sometimes they even seen a flash in their eye. That was supernatural. Friend, I told you already that we're coming to a time when it's going to be popular to be demon possessed. I heard a young lady not long ago that is a popular pop star, and she made a statement. She said she wanted to be like a certain Christian artist because she came from a Christian family. This is her own words. And she said, but it didn't work out that way. She said, so I sold my soul to the devil. See, there's people working on that side. And if the church doesn't engage the supernatural power of God, then the devil has the run of the camp. It's up to us to get the power. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and shake your finger at him and say, you need the power.
You need the power.
We got to have it, my friend. We got to have it. It's up to us to exercise divine authority and manifest the supernatural power and anointing. It's up to us. We can't leave that up to anybody else. That's up to us. We can't leave that up to God. Can't leave it up to the angels. He left it up to us. He said, in my name you'll cast out devils. He said, you'll tread on serpents and scorpions. He said, it's up to us to manifest the kingdom of God in the earth. And he said, we're supposed to pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a great opposition and great demonic warfare in the earth right now. And sad to say, to a large degree, the church is not even engaged in the battle. Sadly, the church has to a large measure forfeited her spiritual power and authority. Now follow me, I'm almost done. Because we have been trained to avoid the supernatural and to be skeptical of anything spiritual. We've also been trained not to seek after spiritual gifts.
How much have we been encouraged over the years to really seek God for the gifts of the Spirit? You know, the things that I used to hear were things like this. Good, well-meaning people love God. Don't seek for the gifts. Just seek the giver. Don't seek for the gifts. Just look for Jesus. And you know what that's done? That's left the church with no gifts. There was a time when you go to a church, any church you went to, the gifts of the Spirit were operating. That's the mind and the will of God, that the gifts of the Spirit operate in the church. It's not God's will that one person have all nine gifts and everybody else just comes to watch. That's not God's mind. That's not God's will. The Bible says, how is it when you come together? One has a song, one has a hymn, one has a tongue, one has an interpretation. Let all things be done decently in order. The will of God, the plan of God, is that it be a body ministry. And that the body functions all together, and that all the gifts operate in the whole body together, and it doesn't matter who it is.
Right.
It doesn't matter who it is. But when it happens, the body is edified.
Right. Right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. So we have to be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah.
And so they told us, they said, don't seek for the gifts. And then here was a big one. Here was a big one, and I'm just telling you because I lived through this, okay? This is one that us, don't seek for signs. Don't seek for signs. Don't seek for wonders. Don't do that. Don't seek for signs and wonders. They'd say that all the time when they're preaching. Don't seek for signs and wonders, just because signs will follow you. Well, I can understand. I hear that part. But if I never seek for the signs and wonders, the signs ain't going to follow me. The in Acts chapter 4, the apostles gathered together in an upper room. The Bible said in a house where they were shaken. The Bible said they all prayed and they said, Lord, grant thy servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus.
Yes.
And the Bible says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought.
Yes.
Why? Because they asked for it. Because they were seeking for it. Because they said, Lord, we need signs and wonders. Listen, we live in a world that ain't going to believe what we say if we can't show them something. I don't have a right to expect somebody to believe what I say if I can't show them something. I don't have a right. That was T.L. Osborne's problem the first time that they went over to India. They went over there to try to convert people to Jesus, and they had no power. They had no miracles. They had no signs. They had no wonders. And no one believed them. Because you know what? They said, look, they said, you got to believe this Bible. You got to believe this Bible. This black book with these gold letters. And they said, we got a black book with gold letters on it. It's called the Quran. Your book talked about a good man you called Jesus. Our book talked about a good man we called Muhammad. What's the difference? And he couldn't show them any difference. So he came back heartbroken. And he began to seek God for the power. And seek God for signs and wonders and miracles. When he went back, the rest is history. The whole world's been changed by that man. Because God manifested himself through him. Because he asked for it. They came back and they were heartbroken. Because they saw the people there and their hearts went out to them. But they couldn't help them. Because they couldn't prove the difference between their Quran and the Bible. And you know what? He said from then on, he said, you know what? I don't have a right to expect people to believe me if the message I have doesn't produce something. There's two sides to this gospel. There's saying and doing. There's got to be two sides to this thing. It has to do what it says.
Yes.
If it doesn't do what it says, it's no different than the Quran. It's no different than any other book. It's no different than Joseph Smith's writings. It's no different than the Mormonism. This has to produce. It has to change lives. It has to produce healing. It has to produce deliverance. It has to produce change. It has to bring miracles. It has to bring signs. It has to bring gifts. It has to bring wonders. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands one more time and thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
I'm almost done. So we were told inadvertently, don't seek after signs and wonders. They'll just follow you automatically. But they won't if you don't ask, if you don't knock, if you don't seek. The apostles had signs and wonders follow them because they asked for it. From the very beginning, God has been a sign and a wonder God. The Bible says God brought Egypt, He brought Israel out of Egypt with many signs and wonders. Friend, we need signs. What are signs? Signs are given to us when we're on a road somewhere. They help us to know we're on the right road. Right? I've driven on roads when I've traveled as an evangelist from Oklahoma to California, different places, different states. I've gotten on roads sometimes and thought I was on the right road, but wasn't sure I was on the right road. And drove on that road for 10 to 15 miles hoping that I was on the right road until I saw a sign. And then the sign said, you're on the right road. I said, thank you, Lord. I'm on the right road. I'm going to keep on going. I don't even need another sign now for a long time because I know I'm on the right road. You understand what I'm saying? But wonders are to cause people to think. Wonders are not for the believers. Wonders are for the unbelievers. Wonders are for the people who don't know the Lord to look at things and wonder about it. So they will look for the answer. Remember when Peter and John, when they healed that lame man, the Bible said the people came together wondering. That was good. They were wondering. What did Peter do? He seized that opportunity. He said, you people, what are you marveling about? Looking in on us like we got some great power or something. He said, it's Jesus. The Jesus that you crucified. It's by faith in Him and faith through Him and faith in His name that's given this man the perfect soundness that you see. But see, they wondered. And wondering was an important part of it. God wants to bring to the church and bring through the church signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost and visions and dreams and supernatural experiences and supernatural manifestations and angelic appearances and angelic manifestations and angelic assistance. And friend, let me just say this. We have to have it. We have to contend for it. Because it concerns me tonight that there's a whole generation of, quote, Bible-believing people that are being deceived. They're being deceived. They believe they can live any way they want to. They believe they can drink beer. And some of them even believe now that the best way to get a crowd is to have beer drinking services, sing some hymns, and drink some beer. And then we've got churches now that want to be real transparent. They want to be real transparent. So they just come to church naked.
No joke.
It's no joke. Nude churches. Pastor preaches nude. And well, the congregation does have the option. If you do want to wear clothes, you could wear clothes. But it's transparency, you know. We want to be transparent. Are you kidding me? The stupidity. He's not looking at our bodies. He's looking at our hearts. There's a whole generation of people, church. I'm not joking with you. I'm concerned. I'm very concerned. I've seen some people that are high up leaders and very influential in the realm of Christendom today that are being led astray.
Yes.
And they're never happy to just be led astray. They've got to lead everybody else astray.
Yeah.
They're never happy to just say, okay, I believe something different now. I don't believe that anymore. I don't cling to that, the way that I used to believe and what the Bible is teaching. I've come along some, you know, and I've gone beyond that. And so I'm just going to leave and go do my own thing. No. They got to tell everybody what they don't believe. And it concerns me. Because we're in a season, we're in a time, and I'm going to tell you this, it's not getting better. So don't buy into that delusion that it's all okay, everything is good, it's going to get better, it's going to all work its way. No, it's not getting better. It's not getting better. So the church has to make it better. We have to make it better. In other words, we have to make it better where we're at. Everywhere Jesus went, he changed the atmosphere. Everywhere Jesus went. Did he kill the devil? He didn't kill the devil. He didn't kill the devil. No. The devil's still here. He didn't kill the devil, but he destroyed his works everywhere he went. Everywhere Jesus went, he established the kingdom of God. And you and I have the same power, the same authority. Can you lift your hands one more time tonight? Thank you for his word tonight. This is the Jesus life I've been talking about. It's not anything strange. It's just the Jesus life. It's the life Jesus lived. It's the life the apostles lived. Sato reke de baba sata. Oh, Holy Spirit, we need you. We confess our need of you. We confess that we cannot do it without you. We confess that we are desperately in need of your presence and your power. Come, Holy Spirit, fill every vessel. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill this sanctuary. Come, Holy Spirit, and elevate us. Open our spiritual eyes. Open our understanding, Lord. Draw us close to you. Let your anointing, Lord, rest upon us, Lord. That same anointing, that same Holy Ghost that was on Jesus' life. Oh, Lord, thank you for an anointed church. Thank you for an anointed body. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. Thank you for signs and wonders. Thank you for miracles, Lord. Thank you for visions and dreams, Lord. Thank you for supernatural visitations and manifestations. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. We are a supernatural people. We are the children of the Most High God. We're born of your Spirit, Lord. It's natural for us to be supernatural. It's natural. Natural for us to have spiritual sight, spiritual hearing. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Alaradia kitaya. Ite show. Ha ha. Oh, ribande. Sito lobo. Seconda vai. Hando. Ricando. Rekiria.
Yea.
Ishai.
I say unto thee.
Yes.
Look ye not to the left.
Yes, Lord.
Or to the right. But look ye unto
yes,
me.
Yes, Lord.
Look ye unto me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light.
Yes, yes.
Look ye unto me.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Kishihatoraya. Hallelujah. For behold, the Lord would say unto thee, yes, the days are evil. But the Lord would say unto thee, I am still God. And the Lord would say unto thee, be not afraid. Be not afraid of what is coming upon the earth. But know that I am able. Ha, 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 ha. Hiketa, ha, ha, ha. I'm able to keep you. I am able. Yes, come near to me. Run into my presence, saith God. For I am able not only to keep you, but I am able to lift you up. And I am able to empower you. And I am able to make you
greater overcomers. You will not be afraid. You will not be afraid, saith the Lord. But you will go forth with boldness, and you will go forth with courage, and you will go forth with authority, and you will speak my word, saith God. And I will back it up with signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of my spirit, saith God. For this is not the hour of darkness, but this is the hour of power for my church. So rise up, saith the Lord, and walk in newness of life. Rise up, saith the Lord, and take hold of my power, and take hold of my strength. For there is a world that is lost and dying, and they must see a manifestation of my power in your life, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Kodasa. Hikando. Sile. Hallelujah. Glory Kushimbana. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is just calling us up a little higher. Just calling us up higher. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our battles that we fight are only going to be won on spiritual grounds. They may be manifest and natural, but they can only be won on spiritual grounds and spiritual weapons. And you are a supernatural people. Amen. God's waking up his church today, I believe with all my heart. He's calling his church back to their supernatural birthright and their heritage. And I am convinced of this, that the church that does not embrace and seek after and hunger after their spiritual birthright, their supernatural heritage, they're going to get trampled down. And they're just going to get swept away. Whether it's an individual or whether it's an entire body, they're going to get swept away by the spirit of deception and delusion. That's why we have to be full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Father, thank you for this service tonight. Thank you for the word of the Lord. I believe it's a word in season, Lord. Oh God, we love you so much. Thank you for this supernatural heritage that you've given us through this wonderful Holy Spirit person. We love you, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your blood tonight. I apply your blood to your people. I apply your blood to their property, to their houses, to their vehicles, Lord, to their persons, their bodies. Watch over them and keep them safe, Lord. Lord, we know that the world is evil and dark, but we're the light of the world and we're the salt of the earth, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us and you never leave us and you never forsake us. I bless you and I bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Say, I am. Supernatural. So, devil, I put you on notice. I am. Full of the Holy Ghost and power. I have the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus and the word of God. I am equipped and I am ready for battle. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, and you're dismissed. God bless you.